This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Peter Asik of St. Matthew Catholic Church of Charlotte.
St. Paul has some interesting and perhaps surprising things to tell us about our bodies in this reading, the second reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And he starts out by telling us, brothers and sisters, the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. To hear that our bodies are for the Lord is to hear that our bodies are for another. And this might seem to contradict a basic intuition we have about our bodies, that my body is my own, and since it's my own, I suppose it's for me to do whatever I want with it, and for me to enjoy it as much as I can. But St. Paul asks us to think differently. Our body is for the Lord. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ, he says? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Very profound things to tell us about our bodies, and he invites us to reflect on ourselves as creatures of body and soul. We are not angels, after all. Angels are pure spirits. They can know and love, but they don't have bodies. And we're also not simply bodies. We're not just animals. We're not just mechanical, physical beings, only with bodily needs and a bodily reality. But as human beings, we have this unique privilege of being both body and soul, intimately united, so that we can never treat a person just as a body, or on the other hand, just as a soul. Everything we do in our bodies is also something we do with our souls. Our bodies are personal, and everything that we do bodily is personal. And so St. Paul asks us to reflect on, to remember that personal reality of our body and how our body enters into our relationship with God and hence our relationship with others. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ, he says. We have become members of Christ in and through our bodies as bodily creatures, receiving those sacraments which God gave us, recognizing that our nature is both physical, bodily, and spiritual. He gives us sacraments to encounter him in, which are also physical in terms of their external form, the water of baptism, the bread and wine that become the Eucharist, and yet also spiritual, that have a real effect on our souls through the action of God. And so through that sacrament of baptism and confirmation and the Holy Eucharist, we have become members of Christ, members of his body, the church. And in becoming members of Christ, we have become members of one another as well. Once again, not just in our souls, not just in some ethereal realm, but also in and through our bodies. This recalls that basic commandment of charity, to love God and to love our neighbor. If we are to love God and to love our neighbor, we must make a gift of ourselves to God and to our neighbor. This is the law of gift, which is the fulfillment of charity. And we only are able to make a gift of ourselves to God and our neighbor in and through our bodies. Our bodies must become the way, our living in and through our bodies must become the way we live out this command of charity, the way that it becomes concrete. And so our bodies are for the Lord. And our bodies are for one another. Our bodies are meant to be the way that we become a gift to one another and to the Lord. And how do we do this? How do we live charity in our bodies? How do we live our bodies as a gift? Well, the first thing is to recognize our bodies, to accept our bodies, respect our bodies, and to accept them with gratitude. We must recognize that our bodies are always personal. They are part of myself, and they are the work of God, his personal work of creation in me. Pope Francis, speaking in his encyclical letter Laudato Si, which treats the whole theme of creation, speaks of the importance of accepting our bodies as a basic step to accepting the gift of the whole of creation. Accepting that our bodies have been created by God, accepting that our bodies in their masculinity and femininity, because we are created male and female by God, both in our bodies and our souls. And accepting that with gratitude helps us to discover who we are as creatures of God and how we are called to be gifts to one another, how men and women are called to be gifts to one another. As St. John Paul II said, in a certain way, all men and women are given to one another. These two ways of being human, are a gift to one another, supplying what the other lacks. And we begin this discovery of this complementarity, of this giftedness of man and woman to one another in and through our bodies. And so we accept our bodies as a gift and seek the grace to love them and to respect them and to be in and through our bodies present to one another. We also must seek to develop the virtues that regard the body and that help us to be a gift to one another. And two fundamental virtues are the virtues of temperance and the virtue of chastity. With the virtue of temperance, we learn and we develop the skills to truly enjoy the body and the pleasures of the body as God intended without becoming enslaved to various physical pleasures. Once again, God made us body and soul. He wants us to enjoy our bodies and the physical joys that he has put into life and the many natural ways that we live life. However, because of sin, because sin has distorted our relationships in body and soul, we always have to be aware of the temptation to become too engrossed in physical pleasures of food and drink, even entertainment, all the ways in which we live in our bodies. We can become enslaved to if we don't govern our passions, govern our appetites, we don't regulate them according to the rule of right reason, according to God's law, according to the way he intends us to live in our bodies. And so we have to learn how to say no and how to say yes to our bodies, to enjoy the right amounts at the right time of food and drink or anything else. Neither trying to live like angels, where we don't attend to our bodies at all, we don't enjoy them at all, nor living like irrational animals, where we can never say no to a physical urge, to our physical bodies. But with the help of grace, with the help of proper self-discipline, we will find that right role, being able to say yes in the right amount at the right time, to enjoy the joys of the body as a gift, but not to be enslaved to our appetites. And then the virtue of chastity. And the virtue of chastity is something that truly concerns the relationship between body and soul in an intimate way. And the virtue of chastity helps us to integrate our sexuality, which is a gift from God, into our lives so that it truly becomes part of that gift that we make of ourselves in the right way at the right time to one another. It involves being male and female, of understanding God's plan for the relationship of men and women, God's plan for marriage, and the different ways that those who are married and those who are not married live this virtue and make a gift of themselves in their whole person, body and soul. And so we live the virtue of chastity, which everyone is called to, in different ways depending on our state in life. For those who are not married and who are possibly awaiting the sacrament of marriage, the virtue of chastity calls us to refrain from any kind of sexual intimacy, which is reserved for that sacrament of marriage. And so the person who is unmarried awaits the time to make a gift of themselves through that sacrament to another, and until that time does not engage in any of those actions which are part of that gift of marriage between a man and a woman. For those who have entered the sacrament of marriage, that is the proper place for the expression of that sexual relationship between a man and a woman, always respecting its full meaning as God has created it, which is always to be an act of union and also an act that is open to life, that is open to giving that gift of becoming a mother and a father, receiving that gift of becoming a mother and a father, and never through our deliberate actions seeking to remove that from the union of marriage. This protects that law of the gift, which God has written both into our bodies and souls, and which finds a particularly privileged expression in the sacrament of marriage. Those who are married also must seek to avoid using one another, reducing the other to an object, which is a temptation because of sin, but always seeking that full personal respect in every act of union and in their whole lives, living that law of gift in the sacrament of marriage. And finally, those who are called to chaste celibacy for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, those who are called to priesthood and religious life, also in their bodies make a gift of themselves by refraining from marriage and from the acts of marriage in order to fully give themselves to Christ. And so in this statement of St. Paul, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ, and whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him? Those who live celibacy are joined to the Lord by making a gift of themselves, body and soul, to the Lord, and so seek to live this oneness of spirit with him, loving his bride, the church, and loving God and loving neighbor with a full gift of self, living once again that law of the gift. And so our bodies are for the Lord. Our bodies are members of Christ. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And our bodies are meant to be a gift to God and to one another. And if we heed this invitation of St. Paul, we will discover that reality. We will discover that fullness, that integrity that God wants us to have as creatures of body and soul, living the life of charity, which is a life of communion with God and with our neighbor.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Peter Asik of St. Matthew Catholic Church of Charlotte on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming online at carolinacatholicradio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app.